turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now. Save big money at
Menards. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, after a stressful day, something seemed to come to her and calm her down when she really needed it most.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Why, thank you for listening. And if you have a real ghost story, if you want to share it with us, we would really like that. So call it in at 855-853-4802. You could write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to become a premium subscriber, go right ahead. You get access to the archive. You get all the advanced episodes, all without commercials. And you can sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. Or ghostpodcast.com. Kathy Gordon in Oregon today.
It's raining.
What?
It's a rainy day.
I was just going to say, is it as beautiful there as it is here? Because here it's like 77 and sunshine, hardly any wind.
Okay, that's unusual for Kansas, particularly the hardly any wind part. But I would have to say, When it is pretty beautiful rain today, too.
It is beautiful no matter what, where you live. I get to see it 2 weeks in, like, a little over 2 weeks.
Yeah, and even if it's rainy, it'll be pretty. But, you know, we hope we get a sunny day or two in there when you show up.
We have to find a haunted place. So if anyone's in Oregon,
I'm looking at Astoria.
Because we want to take a little drive and I would love to set up an interview with, like, a haunted location, and we could just sit down at the location, have a little chat. Mm-hmm. I think that would be so fun.
That would be perfect. I'm looking really at a couple places up in Astoria, which is not very far from me. There's a mansion and a theater.
Oh, see, if we could get into that
so
theater.
I would be so excited about that. No.
And I would be happy to call them, so you let me know.
Yeah.
Well, let's dive in.
So what would calm you down on us? If you were having a stressful day, what would calm you down?
Beer. let's be real. Because I had a stressful day yesterday. Our mom, she's a lot sometimes. And
yes.
So, you know, Kathy's in Oregon now, so it's me. And so I drove over and dealt with her at the ER yesterday, and I got home. It's like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, I sat down, opened a beer. I'm like, oh my God. But this is a really interesting story. I've never heard anything quite like this one.
Okay.
It's really interesting to me. So it says, back in the mid-90s, I worked full-time while my husband stayed home with our kids. He was a decent man, but he wasn't very helpful around the house. That makes me think they're divorced now by that sentence right there. He was a decent man. So every day after putting in a full day of work, I came home to the mess, dirty laundry, and dishes piled up. I'd make dinner, clean the house, and take care of the kids. I was exhausted, physically, mentally, emotionally. There were nights when I just needed a break, and it was on one of those nights that things took a turn I'll never forget. It was late one evening. I had hit my breaking point, and I told him, tonight, you're on your own. Make dinner, watch the kids, I'm going to bed. He barely even acknowledged me, but I didn't care. I was too tired to argue or even care about his lack of effort. I just needed to be alone in peace. So I went to our bedroom, shut the door, and collapsed onto the bed. The covers felt cool against my tired body as I laid down, closed my eyes, and felt the weight of the world pressing on me. For the first time in forever, though, I could feel myself finally rest. But as I started to drift off, I heard something that stopped me cold. I heard footsteps. I froze. The sound was unmistakable. It was slow, deliberate footsteps. But the door to the bedroom was shut, and I was the only one in the room. Maybe it was the kids, I thought. But they were already in bed. I listened more closely. No, it wasn't the kids. These footsteps were heavier, closer to the ground, as if they belonged to someone or something else. I stayed perfectly still, hoping it wasn't my imagination, but then the footsteps stopped and a weight pressed down on the bed beside me. I would freak out right there. Like, they stop and you feel the bed move? I could feel the mattress dip as though someone had sat down. The room seemed to hold its breath and my entire body went rigid with fear. My mind screamed at me to turn around, but I couldn't. I was paralyzed. And then a hand touched my hip. It wasn't just a soft touch. It was firm, warm. As the fingers brushed against my skin, something strange happened. A sensation shot through my body, starting at my hip and radiating outward like electricity, but warm and comforting. It was a strange mix of calm and peace, a relief from all the stress that had been weighing me down for so long. I had no idea what it was, who it was, or why it was happening, but at that moment, I didn't care. The worries that had been bothering me for weeks and months, maybe even years, seemed to melt away as though this unseen presence had taken them with it. The anxiety, the exhaustion, the frustration were all gone. It was almost like someone or something was telling me, it's okay, rest, you've been through enough. The tingling sensation spread all the way through my body, feeling a warmth and safety I couldn't explain. It was like the kind of comfort you get from a loved one. But then, just as quickly as it had appeared, the weight lifted. The hand was gone. The footsteps faded away into nothingness. The room felt still again, except for the faint hum of the night outside of the window. I lay there for what felt like an eternity, still unsure of what had just happened. I never told anybody about that night, not at first anyway, because who would believe me? It wasn't something that could be explained away, but I knew what I felt, and I couldn't shake the feeling that whatever it was, it had done something for me. It had helped me. In the weeks and months that followed, I felt different, lighter, like a weight had been lifted from my shoulders. I still don't know what happened that night or who or what had touched me, but I like to think it was some kind of guardian spirit. Maybe it was my own subconscious reaching out, but the sense of calm it brought with it was too real to ignore. I've never had another experience like that, but I'll never forget that one. Maybe there's something out there more than we understand. Maybe in those moments when we feel completely broken, someone or something is listening and offering a hand to help us find our way back. To this day, I don't know what it was, but I'll be forever grateful that in that, I love this part, but I'll be forever grateful for that one moment it had sympathy for me. That's from Laura. I just think that's so touching.
I don't know, but it sounds an awful lot to me like, because I haven't had it happen personally to myself, but I've heard other people talk about it, God experiences,
mm-hmm.
where God touches you and removes. It's like he, she takes all of that that's been weighing you down off of your shoulders, makes you feel lighter, and it continues that way. It doesn't just quit, you know, when he, she lets go. I know that sounds crazy, but it feels like a God experience to me.
It feels like a God experience. Sorry, my mic just fell over. It feels like a God experience, and then it also feels paranormal with the footsteps and feeling something on the bed. So it does kind of feel like, I see where she would have thought mm-hmm. it might be a guardian spirit as well.
Mm-hmm.
But
and I do believe in guardian spirits, so it's possible. But, you know, is it possible that God is in charge of this and sent something to do this, you know, to make you feel this way? It just really does remind me of how people say when they have these godlike mm-hmm. experiences.
Mm-hmm. Just very yeah. interesting to me. And I think mm-hmm. that I've never heard one quite like that. Like she had been so stressed out and mm-hmm. just had really reached her breaking point. Like, I can't with you. You're not, mm-hmm. you know, I'm working all day. I'm making dinner. I'm doing the house work. I'm doing everything. And I can't. I'm at my breaking point.
I can tell you from experience that marriage can't make it.
My guess is that's why she said he was a decent man.
<It's> like, and I would say the exact same thing about my ex. He's a decent guy.
Decent man.
You know, but he didn't do any of that stuff. That's for sure.
I just find that so interesting. And I hope, I like what I like about it is that it gave her that peace that she needed.
Yeah.
But it stuck with her forever. Mm-hmm. Like she still remembers it. And this was a long time ago. And she's grateful for it. And it seems like it was something that lasted more than just right then.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I felt that way too, that it went on. But
and sometimes,
you know, I just feel like she was touched by God. That's
sometimes
what I feel.
In things like that too, the experience was so profound that it gave her a sense of clarity. Now, who knows after this? She might have said, she might have kicked his ass to the curb. She might have taken her life back. And if I'm going to be doing it all fine, I will do it all and we'll be happy. You know, so maybe it kind of changed her outlook on life.
Yeah.
Because I think we've all had experiences that at some point, it could be any number of things, just really made you stop and reevaluate.
Well, and, you know, you just sometimes it just gets to the point like you're just one more person for me to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm going to take care of the kids, the house, the dishes and do all the work and bring in the money, you're just one more for me to deal with. That's all, you know.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the way those usually end up going.
Yeah, I just think that's so interesting.
I don't have a problem with guys being the stay-at-home parent. They just need to.
Not at all, but you got
to
do
They just need
your...
to do their, you know, everybody needs to pull their weight.
And, oh my God, so often I've seen the relationships that are so out of balance. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the one is doing, you know, they might both be working full-time, but this one is also running the kids around and making the dinners and doing everything.
Yeah. And it just can't last. It's not sustainable. No.
But I'm glad that Laura had that experience.
I am too.
It's very profound. I don't know what it was, but
I'm going glad. With, you know, either that guardian spirit or, you know, it's a God experience where God came and just said, you know, I am here. I'm taking this from you.
Yeah. So sweet. Let's do a phone call.
This is Alexandra from Virginia. I'm kind of reluctant to tell this experience because I did not think this was paranormal until I heard the episode from, I think, last year where a girl had called in and said that when she and her sister were little, there was some kind of entity that showed up as cartoon characters trying to trap her sister inside her room. And this is kind of like an experience I had when I was little. To start off with, I should probably say when I was little, I had a couple of things going on with stairs. One is that famously a family legend is that when I was little, I said I did not want to go upstairs at my grandparents' house because I saw a lady up there. And we later found out that someone had actually died up there. And I have other relatives who probably could have, lived hard enough lives that they might be haunting up there. But, okay, so possible paranormal stairs. Would tell you that story if I remembered it, but I don't. The next thing is that I was just plain afraid of heights. This kind of varied from time to time while I was little. Sometimes I could go down all right if I went slow. Sometimes I would actually have to sit on my butt and scoot downstairs if I had to go down them. So, anyway, a couple of issues I had with stairs when I was little. When I was 7 years old, my aunt had a baby, and she had complications from the delivery and was basically out of commission but at home for several weeks. It was over the summer. My mom was kind of the caretaker for all of us in the family. So she packed me up since I was on break, and we were over at my aunt's house every day in the next city over for about, I guess, 3 or 4 weeks so mom could do all the housework and help out. Well, my aunt's stairs were not very intimidating to me usually. They were carpeted. They weren't as steep as the stairs at, say, the farm where the old lady was that I saw when I was a toddler. And so it shouldn't have been a problem. But while she was taking care of my aunt and the kid, I would wander around the house. And the nursery was upstairs, and I wanted to go look at the nursery. But I kept seeing cartoon wolves on the stairs, and a specific kind of cartoon wolves. This is not like Goofy or the one with from the Droopy Dog cartoons that we all saw when we were little. This was Rankin Bass style animation. If anybody's seen the old animated The Hobbit or the last unicorn. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. There were two of them at the top of the stairs. They looked like they were starving, like no wolf could literally look like this. They were so thin. They had like big fuzzy faces and then very, very thin bodies, and they were always snarling. The thing is, I didn't see them with my eyes. I kind of felt like they were there, and I knew I was imagining them, sort of, but I couldn't stop imagining them. So every time I tried to go up there, I would see or envision, I guess, these wolves. And my mom is a very logical person, and I don't like to look bad in front of her. So eventually I kind of logicked my way into getting past these. They never moved toward me. They would just be there in my mind, and maybe not, every time I tried to go up there. So eventually I was like, this is ridiculous. I'm going to kind of plaster myself against the wall and edge up past these guys and get in there. And so I would try to do that like every day, every other day, as regularly as I could. Eventually I realized that they weren't going to do anything, although I would see them at the landing at the bottom of the stairs when I'd come back out from the nursery. Eventually this stopped, but I think it might have just stopped because we stopped taking care of stuff at that house. And like I said, I had never thought of this as being a paranormal thing. I kind of assumed in retrospect it was because I was no longer going to be the only grandchild on that side of the family, and I'm an only child, and, you know, maybe my feelings were so intense that it produced this thing. But I don't know. I wonder what you guys think about that, and I would appreciate any input you could give me.
So what do you think? Paranormal activity? Something that, because it could be, well, there's a few different possibilities.
I'm kind of wondering if it wasn't her giving shape to her fear.
You know, another thing, because I was trying to think as I was listening to the beginning of that story, there was another ghost story recently I encountered somewhere, but it was kind of like a cartoony figure. It wasn't quite cartoony, but it presented, whatever it was, presented itself not like a scary Victorian woman ghost person. It was more like something kind of more comical. But I was like, maybe that's how a kid could relate to it more. Or
I mean, I think that's possible too. I think we got a couple options here. One is that you have a fear, and so you just project a form to it. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm scared to go up this stairs, so I have these wolves that are up there. Right.
Yes.
I'm afraid to go down the stairs. Now the wolves are down. Right. So I wonder if it's that. But then also, what if there is just some sort of dark entity? But once again, you give it a form.
Yeah.
It's just a dark thing, really. But to make it, you know, manageable in your brain just puts a form on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
I feel like it's her fear in this one. I feel like the first story about seeing the old lady and everybody said that and told her that story was paranormal.
And then that caused her to have extreme fear.
Now she has fears going up any stairs, even this one that she said shouldn't be that big a deal because it wasn't like the farmhouse stairs. But she, you know, has this fear of the stairs, heights, whatever. So she projects this kind of, you know, thing there that's making it hard for her to go up. But I think the first thing might have been the paranormal thing.
It sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And maybe there's still something paranormal going on, but the fear thing also makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's one of those things. I'm just not sure if it is paranormal. I don't know that's what it really looks like. I think that's one way that you can put something on it to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
to identify
true.
It.
Yeah.
You know, because as kids, we kind of need to see it
yeah.
and identify it. So I think we could put a shape there, you know.
But I know whatever that other story was, it was kind of like what they were seeing was like Casper or something like that. But I'm like, maybe whatever it is presenting in a friendly way to the kid. But, you know, with a kid in their imagination, you know, sometimes that could be at play as well. Kind of, it's kind of hard to tell.
I know. But I think it's one of the, I personally feel like something happened to her that put some trauma on her early on with these stares, and now she, and later projected the fear.
I agreed. Well, if you have a real ghost story, we would love to hear about it. So call it in at 855-853-4802. Or you can write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you would like an ad-free version of the show, along with advanced episodes and access to the archive, then become a premium subscriber. You could sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.